All right, we are plugged in for the Crass Files podcast, 27th May 2024. And Jason Woodforth is jumping on me with me today for a chat. We don't plan anything, mate, right? It's been a little while. been busy as of you, you know, and I've been doing lots of Night Watch like members podcasts each night, generally I can, just to break down what I'm seeing. But we definitely didn't plan this. I was just sending you some information on Albanese's housing crisis, and kind of sparked you up because you've got a few stories on that as well. But it's pretty incredible anyway, what's going on, what we're seeing. I don't think I've ever seen a government in this country's history trash this country so quickly. I mean, but that's what you get. You do get that with a Greens. You do get that with, you know, that Greens and Labour kind of duo. I mean, yeah. It's never been great here, I know. You know, but I mean, I'm Generation X. I guess if you look at the baby boomers and you go back having families and everything, it wasn't too bad. But now it's unbelievable. And just to bring this in, Jason, because I sent this to you, Albanese's Ponzi scheme, as he brings in huge amounts of migration, this is a pretty – we'll talk about this because you're going through this a little bit at the moment. But they talk about this in Sydney. This is Lane Cove, so it's not far from me. I could get in the car and kind of go around that way. There's a beautiful national park there. It's kind of a nice area. So it's not far from here. Lane Cove, run-of-the-mill, pretty shitty brick home, no garage. Three-bedder. I mean, it's an old brick place. They're saying here $3,517,500 plus another $177,035 in stamp duty for the government. And stamp duty isn't anything. It's made up. It doesn't exist.
Yep, correct.
Of a total of $3,694,035 for a 20% deposit, you will need $738,807. So monthly mortgage repayments for a 25-year loan at 6.22% would be $19,450 a month. Nearly $20,000 a month. That's an annual mortgage repayment of $233,400. What fucking type of fucking income could anybody have to afford that per year, $233,000? So, obviously, they've completely annihilated the Australian dream. I mean, that is – I spoke to a guy the other week, Jason, you know, and him and his wife are doing quite well, and they bought in a nice area, but he said the same thing. His whole family are shaking their heads. They think he's mad. And he got a locked in, at least. But, I mean, where the hell do you get $20,000 a month to pay back this death pledge? Because that's what it is. So that's in Sydney, mate. You can see that is insane.
Mate, it's beyond insane. I mean, Adam, I've got a friend of mine. He's just caught up with him just the other day. He's got a property worth, say, 1.5 for round figures. He wants to sell that and downgrade and just a smaller house, smaller land size. You know, wants to go, he found a nice property for 1.35. Okay, firstly, on his 1.5, he's got to give 30K commission away, right? That 30K, they won't even spend fucking 5 hours on. They're getting 5 hours work for 30K. Call it 10 hours. They're just not spending that many hours the way the properties are just selling up here, just bang, 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 bang. You put them online, they're gone within days, right? Yeah. Unless you're overpriced, your property will sell in days or a week or two. There's stuff all time that these REs are putting into selling your property. They're real estate agents are one of the luckiest industries in the world. As the prices go up, their wage goes up. They don't need wage increases from their bosses. The industry itself, or the money we spend or force up the prices on homes, is what gives them their pay increases. Mate, it's madness. But then on this 1.35 property, he tells me he's going to spend 56K in stamp duty. So there's $86,000 gone in a heartbeat, evaporated. He goes from 1.5 to 1.35, but he's wasted $86,000. Call it 100 for round figures. That means he's really bought a property for 1.45, 500K less, 50K less than where he started. It's just madness. This stamp duty, stamp duty's out of control. Real estate fees are out of control. I don't know how anyone in New South Wales and Victoria, especially in the hubs, can afford anything.
You're explaining your situation before, but just recently, you know, we bought a secondhand car. I mean, nice car, low case, 2017, nothing special. Just for us. I haven't bought a car for so long, you know. And because I got it from a dealer, I had to go to Service New South Wales in there to swap over the rego. I mean, but what the fuck are you doing? I mean, I go and I buy a car off you, Jason Woodforth, right? And yeah. I look at the car and you show it to me. It goes, well, it's a good car, mate. I give you the cash. It's my car. What do I fucking have to do? All I got to do is go online and say to the government that number plate, because that's what it's all about, the registration number plate is mine now. But they charge you stamp duty or whatever it is. It's stamp duty. And I had to go in, and this stamp duty on this car, because it was a little bit more expensive, was nearly $1,000.
Yeah.
Right? And she said it's stamp duty. The basic transfer of the registration is like $30 or $40. Because what are they doing? They're just saying, you're just telling the system that you own that license plate now. That's all. It's 2 seconds. Yeah. But they, this government, these vampiric entities, with they never ever take their fangs out of our necks and get their fucking hands out of our fucking pockets. They charge you $900 for stamp duty. And I told her stamp duty is nothing. It's like duty free. I mean, it's ridiculous. It doesn't mean anything. Stamp duty is made up. It never existed. They made it up. It's a scam. But they don't care.
Okay. So just on the $1.35 million property, $56,000, right? What's changed from 10 years ago where the same property is probably half the price? What's changed for it to be double the price in stamp duty that they're doing, that the government's taking?
That's right. What?
And what is stamp duty? Like think about it, people. What is stamp duty? I've got to stamp a fucking form? To stamp it for fucking $56,000, or in Lane Cove's case, fucking, what was it, $177,000? What bullshit is, people, you got to motherfucking stand up. We're going to stand up en masse. And you know what? I only said this on the weekend to someone. The problem is with these protests, and I've said this on this program before, we leave. There's one thing to protest, but when you leave, they win. They laugh and laugh and laugh because you fucking left. You don't leave. 100,000 people stay, rotation basis, every 6 hours with the other one to replace you. And we do it for months and months and months until we get our way. This is bullshit.
I think it's, you know, the people in this country, we've let this go too long and it's rotten. We've allowed this to go way, way too long. Look at just the power we've allowed councils to get, you know. And I did like, because he's one of the only ones that came out, Ralph Babette of the United Australia Party. He did come out and he told them to go back into their little cage. He said, you know, these councils, you're acting like dictators. You do the bins, you make sure the roads are fixed and everything else, you stay the hell out of our lives. But these councils now are like, dictators. And we as a country, we've allowed this to get this bad, and it's just festered out of control now. And we just do it. That's the thing, Jason. You just do it. What do you do? I mean, you get a. What are you going to do? You know, you want to sell your house. I mean, or I mean, you bought a house, I buy a house, you live in your house, you want to sell it, and or you want to buy another one. Look at the amount of money that you're handing over for nothing, even just to buy a simple car. I mean, and the thing is, they tax everybody. Like, just the process of buying a car or a house, like, or buying anything or food or anything, how much stamp duty and taxes are on absolutely everything anyway, and middlemen. But you go in just to change a piece of paper over to you, and they charge you thousands of dollars. And it's happening every second of the day all around the country to millions of people. We're just paying these vampires who do nothing but sit on their fat asses being lazy. It's unbelievable. And we, the people, we need to stop this. But
I
don't know how it's going to happen.
Mate, it's going to happen when it's all too late. You know, like, I've tried to put my stance forward and I get literally zero traction. And it's clearly zero traction because what's it changed? Nothing. So meanwhile, whilst changed nothing, we have to continue to pay the tolls, pay the stamp duties, pay the bullshit taxes, you know, wait for the death tax. I think the government that puts in the death tax, because I do believe that's the only one that's not existing now that has never existed, is that I think that's the death tax. The death tax is the death knell for the side that puts it in, right? But that will come. But if you look back in 1900, there was zero taxes, zero. How did we afford everything that was put in place? The police, the, you know, the fireys, doctors, the nurses, the hospitals, the schools, the teachers, the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? The first income tax put in place, I think it was 1915 or 18, I think it was 15, was for the war. And that was for the war, not for all the infrastructure. From there, that 1% or 2% tax has climbed friggin' huge. And then on top of that, you've got GST, you've got fuel tax, you've got every tax under the sun. Now, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong. I have just heard in New South Wales, there will be a 1% tax on a property that is not occupied for more than 6 months. Is that coming in? I've heard that's coming in. You don't have someone in your property for 6 months, you need to pay 1% of what that property is worth every year.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay.
And they're even in New South Wales, they're coming down on you having a caravan on your own property that someone might be living in.
No.
That's what, yep. Yeah, they're doing that in New South Wales now. Because it was actually on TV, it was on the news, because some guy was living with his family in a caravan. He can't do it anymore. So you've got a situation where that's a good option because families and people can offer their properties and you could put a caravan or something on there and at least have somewhere to stay, but they don't want that either, you see.
Wow.
They don't want you. I mean, who are they? Who are they to tell you that you can't have a caravan on your property? You can have a caravan on your property, but technically you're not allowed to have anyone permanently staying in it. On your own property, because, yeah, guess what? You don't own your own property, do you? They own it, just like your children.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what, Adam? This whole Klaus Schwab thing from the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing and be happy. We're going there. You're not going to be able to afford any. Adam, I just I look at the block, the TV bullshit reality show, is that they're selling those properties now these days for $2 to $3 million. I know some billionaire apparently bought a few, right? But who can afford that shit? Like you said, 200. Well, not that everyone hasn't made some money and so they can afford half straight up front. The amount of money they're making in repayments. My son wants to grab a property. He's got very little savings. He's doing well for himself in regards to the job and his girlfriend's got a job and they're doing really well and whatnot, but they're not rich and they're going to have to find literally – they're going to have five – we worked out. They're going to have $500 a week left over from everything. And I said, guys, that doesn't include insurances, rates, water, things that go wrong, cars, servicing. I just don't get how people are affording this. I am surprised there's not more homeless. I'm surprised there's just not more of and maybe because we're just not seeing it, but it is actually happening that it's gone really, really bad.
I think so. A lot of younger people are staying at home longer as well because you think, you know, well, the baby boomers did quite well They worked hard and they came up in a time where they're able to get these properties, and a lot of them are still in there.
Yeah.
So a lot of, I notice a lot of the young people around where I am, you know, they're staying at home longer, and well, you've got a lot of tradies that own the properties and they're doing renovations, but they're tradies, you know, like they're builders. So they, you know, they can do it their own way and they can add on to their houses and build up. But as you were saying, they're like, I have no idea how young people are able to go. I mean, we had a mortgage maybe 10 years or so ago just on a little unit because we didn't want to rent and we couldn't pay it off. And it was wasn't much. I think we got it for $359 at the time, you know. At the time was a little too better, and we thought, oh, well, we'll just buy this. But when I sold it, you know, we were putting extra. We were putting like $500, you know, every 2 weeks in extra and everything. But you could worm it down a bit, but you could, I mean, you can't get out of it. There's no way I could have paid that off. And now I don't understand how $1 million. I remember that show, Jason, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I mean, I used to think that having $1 million would make you a millionaire. Now it's nothing. And how the hell can you go into a mortgage with $1 million or $2 million, and now it's $3 million, $3.5 million? I have no idea. I don't know how that's done. No clue.
I
have no clue. I think just people are renting. A lot of people are saying that. We actually have friends, well, I know people, Jason, who are looking for something, but it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think they're mad. I just wouldn't do it. I'm like, just move. They're saying that it's cheaper to rent. You rent somewhere. I mean, how the hell can you even get a deposit?
Yeah. Adam, just on that. So on a 500K loan, you're paying back about $4,500 a month. It is cheaper by literally, not going to say half, but certainly around half to two-thirds, to rent than rather pay back that amount. And keep in mind that a lot of people just can't afford that to then go and, you know, put that money into a loan, into a home they can buy and own down the track. They just can't afford it. So it's just cheaper to rent. They've got to rent so they can live day to day. And that's my son. I said, mate, don't do it. Don't do it. You just can't afford this at the moment. Yeah. Mind you, I'll tell you when house prices will come down. They'll come down once everyone's got jabs, starts dying, and there'll be a gluttony of homes around. Now, this is the case in Japan, but Japan had a massive recession back in 91, 32 years ago, and house prices went from $1 million to $200,000 overnight, right? Massive drama. But on top of that, I just watched a program where 9 million homes in Japan just sit idle because there's no one for them, okay? So they've got all these extra homes, thus it is driving the house prices down even more. Now, wait for the suddenly dying to really pick up and we start seeing the house prices drop because there's no one to buy them.
Well, you're just Chinese, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, well, no, Adam, otherwise people would go to Japan and buy up those 9 million houses for cheap, but they're not doing that. But would they do it in Australia? Maybe, you know, the so-called lucky country. But, yeah.
Well, with the massive amounts of migrants coming in, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
Because they're building micro suburbs in Sydney, which, you know, used to be at least sort of food bowl areas, but it's just getting ridiculous. And so the biggest nightmare in Sydney that we have, and this is going to be disaster going forward, is the quality of the houses they've been building. I mean, there's entire micro suburbs over there. You would have seen the videos of them with these black roofs. And they're like $1.5 million or $1.3 million to buy one. And they're basically like, I don't know, they're kind of like a townhousey things. They look like that. So they're just all crammed together. You've got a little strip of grass on the front and all the roofs are black. But what's happening, you know, it's not like they used to build things back in the day. Now, you know, there's just so many people. There's people that have come in that are experts in this, and they've taken a look and they said this is going to be a catastrophe because all these cheap houses they've put up, you know, over years and years and years are just – it's just falling to pieces. They're rotting from the inside out. The water is the worst, like in the roof and everything. They're just crumbling. And so as they bring in more migrants and cram these shitty, you know, houses in with terrible workmanship, I mean, they're bringing in Chinese people and Chinese workers with this shitty material. It's just not done like it was by craftsmen back in the day who were real tradies and real carpenters who built places. All the old units and places around Sydney, because they are quite beautiful, you see them, the old architecture and the old buildings, you know, all the old units, the old double brick units they did back in the 1970s, right on the beaches and places, they're all still there. There's not a chip in them. They look brand new, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so solid. But these new things, they are absolute. They look fancy, but they're falling to bits. Absolutely falling to bits. So, and then they're building more over the top of that, and on top of that, and on top of that, as they bring in more migrants, and just general local people who were born here, how can they afford anything? Adam, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, well, Adam, we've got a housing crisis, right? And yet. We're bringing in, I heard last year, was 87,000 migrants, right? What do we need 87,000 migrants for when we don't have the jobs for them? Mind you, they'll work for nothing. And also, we don't have the cost of living that they could afford. If they're migrants, they're most likely coming over because they can't afford to be where they were. I mean, this is just, it's all going to plan, Adam. At the end of the day, it's all going to plan.
They don't have any skills. They don't speak English. You know who they're bringing into some of these areas now? All these Nepalese. And they're just standing around staring. And what are they going to do here? What are these people going to do from these countries here? It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, we used to have a white Australia policy, which is smart, you know. I mean, you do it very – you're calculated about it, and you allow people into this country that have skills and can work and contribute. But this is just a mess now. And the crime rates are going through the roof. I mean, it's going to fall to pieces. It's going to fall to pieces. The crime rate's getting really bad. And what happens? You get in these cities when you get this – and you get all these migrants in here and you get this kind of clash of society, divide and conquer thing and this mess. I mean, it's happening in the UK. All the people who have resources, money and can work and know things, they're all moving out to the country further and further. You know, they're moving away from London as it kind of, I don't know, these cities are going to turn into like Detroit City. As the, you know, because these migrants can't do anything. They can't continue to move forward in our great cities that we've built here in the West, and they will fall. But that's the plan. And that's the plan. It's white genocide. It's get rid of the white people and bring in these people. And I guess whoever's left, Jason, as you said, as they start dying off from these jabs, it'll, you know, I guess they'll just have their smart cities, and it will be Klaus Schwab's wet dream. As you will live in smart cities in compact apartments, and you won't own anything, and you won't own a car, and you won't even own your clothes. You'll rent everything. Everything will be supplied to you by Big Brother, the Ministry of Truth. You know, you won't have an opinion. You won't have money. It'll all be gone. They'll cram us all into these cities, mate. Into these smart cities. That's probably their ultimate plan. But, you know, that could backfire itself. You bring in too many migrants, you've got a flashpoint sort of situation that's going to happen as well, you know?
Absolutely. Like I said, people don't get the number of migrants that are coming in. We're getting to a tipping point. We are at a tipping point right now, given that, you know, like fuel prices, like we spoke, we're still here and all this bullshit is not going away, people. And let me talk about, normally I talk about COVID with that. I'm talking about everything, but COVID still remains. We are still here. We're not going away with that bullshit because just the other day they announced new variants.
The bird flu. Got the bird flu, mate.
Yeah.
So that they can get it from ducks and birds who pass it on to cows. And then when I was reading through it last night, mate, they're actually saying in the WHO up there in front of the world, I'm not kidding, I've got the video on my phone, they're actually saying that ducks and birds can spread the flu to cattle. And then when the farmers come in and milk the cattle, the virus can come from the milk as it sprays into the tin and be airborne.
Yep, correct.
That is what they're saying.
No, it's correct. Adam, listen to the scientists. Mate, I'm sick and tired of this. You don't listen to the scientists. You've got to listen to the scientists.
Oh, my God. Boy.
You've got to listen to Fauci. So, no, Adam, I won't hear of it.
So the thing is, Jason, last night on the members podcast, I was saying, as you were saying there, the exact same thing is happening. Now they're saying there's two cases, a child in Australia that came back from India and another one in the US. But there's nothing wrong with the child. But they're making hundreds of millions of doses of these H1N1 or whatever, bird flu vaccines for two cases. And they're actually locking down egg producers and, these kinds of places in the US now.
So I got the dogs in the background. Oh, jeez. we got a new puppy, 6 months. And he just wants to play. Oh, he's gorgeous. Hang on.
Just throw the ball.
No, I did already. As we mentioned, we bred some Maltaliers last year and we kept one. And Dad won't play with him for some reason. They reckon that the dad dogs don't know that they're the dad to the kids. But anyway, I don't know. But Mum plays with them all the time, and they have a ball. But the young fella just grabs onto the dad's ear and literally grabs on and pulls him. They must have no feeling in their ears, dogs. I must research that because the grip he puts on those ears is just next level. It's hilarious. But and he'll run under him, he'll jump over Dad, it's just so gorgeous watching the whole process of the whole birthing of the dogs, how they grew up and the each week how they developed, etc. was just the best. Anyway, I digress. But I did have some screenshots of some stuff. Like, it's interesting what we've come up with today. We plan on nothing. I just said, actually, when you sent me that thing on the stamp duty, I just went, mate, you got time for a podcast. It wasn't even about the COVID bullshit the last 4 years. And people, we are 4 years and 2 months since we got locked down like dogs. 4 years and 2 months. Victoria over 2 years got locked down for over 1 year. We allowed, not that you and I allowed, most of your members tried not for it to happen, but we allowed en masse for those lockdowns to happen. Can you even fathom that actually was a thing? Can you even fathom? Unbelievable. Oh,
yeah. I know. Adam, I look back and shake my head. Can't believe it.
And just want to think of some recent news. The bridge collapse that happened. Did you talk about that or did I talk on this program about that? I can't remember. But the bridge collapse.
The boat?
Yeah. The ship that did a right hand turn straight into the bridge. That happened, just in case I didn't cover it, because it's been so long since we've chatted, is that happened, and I can't recall all of this, but I'll just go with the stuff that I can recall. It happened at 1:28 a.m. The city in which it happened equals 1:28. The movie World Leave the World Behind, which is by the Obamas, Michael and Barack and Michael. Oh, no, sorry, Michelle. I always get his name mixed up with Michael. I don't know why. Maybe it's
because it's a man.
Oh, that's maybe why. Yeah. So the White Wolf is the ship the ship that crashes into the shore in that movie at the beginning, it equals 128 in Gematria. That movie was released on 12/8/128. The number of 128s that link into this is just like, it's not a coincidence, people. It's just not. And, you know, they're saying that, well, that's a bit of a 9/11 moment for that city, because they're reckoning 10 years before they get that built that bridge rebuilt. And the number of trucks and buses and cars and you name it, use it. I mean, you've gone from a trip that maybe took you an hour to a trip that's going to take you 2 or 3 hours getting around that bridge that's now out. Like, they don't care about messing with us. They just have fun. They laugh. They laugh and laugh and laugh.
That's right.
Oh, man. I'll get some stuff from my screenshots. Oh, mate, it's just unbelievable.
Those numbers are crazy.
Oh, mate. And like I said, there's more than those 128s I've just mentioned. And there was another number linked to it as well. And you just go, you just can't make this shit up. You know, you just can't make this shit. And also, it crashed at 128. They didn't say 129. They say 130 and rounded up. They didn't say 125, 128. They're very precise. And they are precise because they need to use the numbers. I'll just see what screenshots I've got handy, because there's been some stuff happening. But as you say, you and I have just been so busy.
Digital ID?
Oh, digital. But, well, that and bloody the banks. Mate, the banks are out of control. Actually, you know what? The banks aren't out of control. What I've been noticing from friends of mine telling me, the banks are asking more and more questions of their customers.
Like, that's right.
Yeah, I even went and took some money out the other day. And they said, what's it for? I said, it's none of your fucking business. I was polite. And she goes, oh, we just have to ask. I actually said, well, how do you feel asking personal questions? She goes, we just got to do it. I said, it's my money. She goes, I know. And I remember seeing a guy asking for $3,000 in the States. And she goes, yeah, what's it for? It's my money. I want my fucking money.
Did you see the video of the Australian guy having fun with it? That's fun to do as well. Like when he went into the bank to get money out, he was giving them all sorts of crazy answers, like, I'm going to get a sex change, or you could really have a lot of fun with him, you know? Yeah, it was a pretty – he's a comedian, I think, but it's like you can say all sorts of funny things, you know? Yeah. Obviously, you just get – it makes you cranky. You get angry because you go into the bank to get your money.
Yeah.
And they won't let you now, or they're taking cash out of their branches, or they're questioning you as to why you're taking this money out, and it's getting worse.
Yeah.
I know it's definitely for more than $10,000, but now it's
$3,000, $4,000, $5,000. They are asking for, like, the another guy said he took out $8,000 the other day, because we were talking about this. He goes, I took out $8,000. She goes, well, it's such a large amount. And he goes, I'm sorry, love. $8,000 is not a large amount. Look at the price of houses. Look at the price of everything. You reckon $8,000 is a large amount? Yeah, he just tore strips off this chick. She goes, well, you can just say that you're not saying what it's for. And he goes, oh, it's for a boat. You happy? You know, it is war. It's people on people. And this is what they want. This is why we hate the cops as it is, because the cops have driven the mandates that weren't law, that crushed businesses, created suicides, marriage breakups, bankruptcies, you fucking name it. And those fucking coppers they made sure it happened. You coppers, if you're listening to me and you're a copper and you're still a cop and you went through COVID, you're a fucking C-U-N-T, because you were part of the problem. You helped create that problem.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation I bring up a lot too, that the system is using people to do it to themselves. You know, like you go into these places and banks and they're just following orders. They don't even know where the orders are coming from. They're just told what to say and do. And every single industry, every single job, none of them – I mean, you did have the nurses and stuff who didn't want those jabs, so they went home. But, I mean, every single industry, here they are. Acting like little tyrants because they're told to by their bosses. So we're doing it to ourselves, just like the police did it to us. It's unbelievable. It's just it makes you. It really is one of those things that makes me mad.
Adam. Okay, we haven't discussed this on this program, but you know what? Fuck it. My grandkid stolen from us, we were basically prime carers because the fucking grub of a fucking daughter-in-law that we got, right, she got an ex parte order. Now, when those kids got taken from school behind our backs, is that we the cops rang and said, oh, the boy's been taken away. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? No, we're going to pick them up. No, we've taken them. They've gone with their mother and you won't find them. And we said, hang on a second. And we went through this. I said to the sergeant that rang us up, I said, did you even check to see if there was an issue? She said, no. I said, why are you doing this? You're just an order taker. She says, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
So you cops, yeah, that's right. You understand this? You're a cop listening to this and you're still a cop? You're fucking bad, man. You're filth. Because you're still to this fucking serious day doing order taking. My mate who's a cop goes to a fucking speed camera site. The motorcycle coppers in particular are the worst. Speeding past him, getting to this fucking site, then booking for people that were doing 20 Ks less than what they were doing getting to the fucking site. Right? You are order takers. If you're a cop listening to this, you're an order taker and have the balls to get out or stop taking orders. And you people in the army, you're the fucking same. There'd be no wars. There'd be no wars. Don't sign up. If you want to kill things, go out the fucking back of Burke and kill bloody roos and freaking wildlife and whatnot. You order takers are the fucking problem.
Well, that's what we have, mate. We've always had it. It's a society of order takers, you know. I've been in government buildings lately and I'm just watching them. They're all the same. And they're all order takers and you can't even make a joke with them. You know, going to some of these places like, you know, to change your license and things and do those, you can't even make a joke with them. You can't say anything. Everything is just the one way. You know, they have no, they're just there. If you even try to buck the system in any way, they'll dob you in immediately. They're all order takers. And it's always been like that. It's just worse now than ever. And now as you get the digital ID thing in through, I mean, it's going to be I was thinking about that, you know. It's going to be a nightmare. Just in the time that I was in the Service New South Wales place, you know, just to take a ticket and change your rego over, or you got to do something with your license, or you need a new license, or your kid's going for their P's or whatever it is. I saw so many confused elderly people come in, you know. That like just didn't know what was going on. They've got to get tests for their glasses or they've got to do a million and one things, you know. And I remember these kinds of places used to be a bit more ruckus, a bit more sort of like the Wild West. And you could go in there and at least sort of get things done. But there's just they just changed so much now. And you can see when you go into all these government places, you can see that we're being set up for total cashless society and complete digital ID system, and you can see that these order takers are going to love every fucking second of it.
Because once
they do this digital ID, you fucking lose everything. You know, you either play ball with us, or we'll just cast you out to the Mad Max 2 system. You know, I mean, we can put you out there with the Mad Max 2 guys looking for oil on the motorbikes and shit, you know.
No, and, Mad Max, that's going to be us, mate. That's going to be us.
But there's movies on it, you know. I mean, yeah. Think about it, Jason. What are you going to do? I mean, how are you going to get money out? How are you going to get paid? How are you going to do license stuff? How are you going to do a single thing in this system at first? Because They did say, and I don't know if you saw the video of the Liberal guy, Jason, where he spilled the beans. He basically said, you know, when we make it mandated. So they're telling you now that the digital ID is not mandated, that you or whatever have a choice, that you can use it or you don't want to use it. But once they get it in, they will mandate it, or they'll make it like you have to have it. So it's going to be very tricky for us to get around that.
I tell you what, the digital ID – right, they say they won't mandate it. Let's go back to the COVID thing, right? The difference with the COVID jab, we said we won't mandate it, but they then mandated it and they wouldn't lock it down. They wouldn't do a whole bunch of stuff. They wouldn't mandate it. They did, right? The difference with the digital ID is that they won't mandate it, but the bottom line is if you don't join it, you're fucked. You're screwed. Because So this one's a little bit different. You were able to get around COVID and you'll be able to get around the next one. Be a bit hard to get around the next one. But this one with the digital ID, this one they won't mandate because they won't have to, because they will make it your pain that if you don't, you just will. So that way.
Yeah.
This is different. This one's different.
And no, that's exactly what I was saying the other night. You're right. You're dead right. They will just squeeze us until you have to do it anyway, but they won't mandate it. Yeah, like the same with the jabs. That's how they do everything.
Yeah. And the way around the digital ID, it's going to be tricky. One way will be that you'll have to get someone else that doesn't care, that got themselves fucking digitally ID'd, to do all your work for you. So there might be a business there where people who went and got the jabs, went and got the digital ID, went and got this, went and got that, goes, okay, these people, these Mad Max people, I'm now going to send, you're going to pay me a fee, and I'm going to go get you washing, I'm going to go get you groceries, I'm going to go get this, I'm going to go get that for you, and I'll use my ID for it. That may be one way around it. But if we're in fucking smart cities, you're only given 15 minutes anywhere and they're going to know who's what happened. Then that person will be going, sorry, the government's going to say to that person, mate, you seem to be spending a lot of money on fuel, a lot of money on groceries, but there's just two of you that live there at your house. And that's right. We know that only two of you live there at that house. And your electricity bill, you seem to be paying a lot of electricity for just one house. Why are you spending all this money? We are screwed on this one. And I'm just on the smart cities, where I live, just 1 kilometre away, there used to be 10 houses on massive amounts of property. There is now 781 where 10 houses laid.
Mm.
Out to be next to that 781, there's going to be 500. On average, the block is 350 squares, right? And on average, the house literally takes up the whole entire property. There's no room to go. Even a wheelie bin, you struggle to get down the side. And there was one spot where I drove down. Four houses were actually butted up together. So I don't know where the hell they keep the bloody wheelie bins.
You can't fit up the side of the houses.
No. And mind you, keep in mind that though, I had a mate come back from England the other month, and he goes, they are just used to it, because I saw the housing and it's all those houses are just jammed together like they used to show in the 80s and 90s in sitcoms. And that's what England's used to. They're not used to what we've got over here. They're not used to open spaces. But very very quickly, we're going to get used to being sardines. But then again, Adam, again to your point with some of the Sydney properties, they're selling for $1 million, $2 million, a place that basically is no wider than a caravan that is between two buildings. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and what they're saying now, especially in Sydney and all around the country as well, is we're losing what you were just talking about. You know, we've been able to have that urban development in balance with nature very well, and it's always worked here in Sydney. And I was just talking about this the other night on the Night Watch podcast, that, you know, we were just coming back in the afternoon. It was getting dark, sort of. You know, five or so in the afternoon, and we're on a main road, and there's these big eucalyptus trees filled with these galahs, you know, and we were just saying how amazing Australia is, you know, how these animals are still able to thrive in these corridors of trees. And, you know, if you're around Sydney and you go up on hills or you get a view over the city, it's so blue with the sea, and you can see like all the houses, there's so much green spaces and corridors still, but that is being slowly eroded as they cram in more houses, and it's going to be a concrete jungle. And as you said, they're used to it overseas, but here we've always had that great living lifestyle, you know, of being able to have the big backyards and lots of parks and water around and have houses amongst this. And that's why our native wildlife has continued to thrive, because if you go to other countries, you've got to travel a long time to see birds and native animals. But here they're all around you. You've got possums on your roof. You've got parrots around. It's amazing how they thrive in the urban development of our cities. But that's because we've managed to keep the population down, and we've done a pretty good job. But it's all ending, mate. Someone was saying with the digital ID as well, that if you have a dual passport, like if you have a passport to another country, you could put, if they don't have digital ID, you could store your money in the banks over there in that country. Or if you have relatives in another country, so a lot of people in Australia might have relatives from other parts of the world, they could maybe do their banking over there, and you could still get it online, but you might bypass that way. But it's getting harder to navigate. As you said there, exactly what I was saying. they're just going to start squeezing and there won't be any way out anyway. But oh, no. We didn't mandate it, just like the vaxxers.
That's right.
Just like the jabs. They never forced you, but people felt like it, they were forced, but you weren't touched. That's assault.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the moment they say around less than 10 million Australians have some form of digital ID. So that's pretty good. But once they start to press, you'll see very quickly everyone get one, you know. So, you know, yeah, that's the way that they do it. It's crazy, but it's going to be really weird for people to come into these cities without a digital ID and try to do any kind of business or get public transport or anything. You just won't be welcome anymore.
That's right.
And you know,
Adam,
go back to the Thunderdome.
If you're old enough to know.
Beyond Thunderdome.
I do have to get going, but I want to end on this, is that Dad said we could talk for hours because it's been so long, but I want to end on this. Allow me to introduce Klaus Schwab's top advisor, Professor Yuval Noah Harari.
Oh, the little Jewish golem.
Yes. Now, this is only one of many things he said, and this is probably not even the most important thing he said, but he said, humans are now hackable animals.
Yep.
The whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and nobody knows what's happening inside them and they have free will, that's over. Understand what this grub is about.
Mm-hmm.
He is part of the New World Order. He is right up the top and he knows what's coming. And it's not pretty. So just Harari. And sorry, the other one I want to mention is, because my wife didn't get this, and the other night I showed her where I said Bill Gates said there's another one coming, and he's laughing. He said, "Well, you know, Australia and India, they did a good job this time, but they'll pay attention to the next one." Two Jeez. Things: why are you fucking laughing? Why are you laughing? And secondly, what do you mean the next time? This is not over. It's not going away.
Certainly isn't.
My words.
Yeah, this creature has crawled out from behind Schwab and Bill Gates. It's like a darker version. Mm-hmm. And he basically says openly, we don't need you anymore. Thanks for the industrial revolution and keeping the machines oiled, but we don't need you anymore, buddy boy. And if you want to hang around, well, you'll stay in our smart cities and rent everything off us. We'll give you some virtual assistants. You're not going to have a family anymore. Your life, as you know it, is gone. And wave goodbye to the human spirit as well. That's gone. We don't need that anymore because we're bringing in transhumanism. So he doesn't mince words, the little golem, but these are the creatures that are now coming out from, you know, behind the mirror, crawling out like the little creatures that they are now, and they're not hiding who they are anymore, and they're not mincing words. They're openly saying what's coming. So it's pretty incredible times. As we said, Jason, you would only hope that we would get to a point where enough people get spooked and we say, you know what, we've got to go back. This is getting too dark. We've got to return to what we remember, you know. Otherwise, there's going to be no way back for humanity. You know? There just won't be.
No.
Just finishing, Jason, the digital ID, how grubby was that? I mean, the fact that there was no consultation, the public have pretty much said we don't want it. But they just – the way they're just going in now, like ScoMo did in COVID and just doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, how can we still believe we live in any kind of democracy in this country? They're just doing what they want. And it turns out, Jason, that this – there's new articles coming out about this, that this e-safety Karen, all of this stuff was kind of already brought in by ScoMo and even goes back to Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been in the works for a long time. They've been laying the foundations of this digital ID, e-safety, Karen, censoring us online and all this stuff. It's all been in the works for a very long time. I think we're just at that time in or point in history where they're going to go for it. That came in quick, Jason. Came in quick, the digital ID, because you go back to the Australia card and the John Howard years and the Bob Hawke years. As Australians, we've pushed that off for decades and decades, and they've never been able to quite do it. And then suddenly, in 1 second, they went in there and done.
Yep.
After all these years of fighting, they just went in and they did it anyway, like bang. And it's amazing to see that. Yep. You know? Incredible.
Adam, I'll pull the pin on this one now because a few things do get great. Well, mind you, hang on, let's just check on time because we said we'd make this a short one.
Yeah, right.
57 minutes. that hour.
Yeah, all good. Well, there's always plenty to discuss for everyone out there to listen to. It's good to have a chat while we still can. They might cut our tongues off soon, mate. We continue forward as best we can here on the ground. Get on the CrazFiles.com and plenty going up over there. And support me over on CrazFiles, over on the members, over on Buy Me a Coffee. So, you know, everything's up on the website now. And we'll probably try to plug in again soon, mate.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
maybe next week, or I'll log in to see how you're going.
Yeah.
But as you know, there's always so much to cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay there, mate. I will just log out now of the podcast, but good chatting with you, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, take care, peeps. Peace out.